Matthew 26. I didn't get through not getting to the message this morning. So where we're at, your guess is as good as mine. We'll find out maybe before I get through with what I want to try and deal with tonight. My heart is toward the direction of how the devil wants to defeat us and then tell us the lie that we have to wallow in that defeat. Peter, no doubt, was defeated. He made a mess. Let's just read verse 74. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. I looked at this morning how the devil wants to try to use defeat in the lives of the Lord's people and how he tries to hide the truth that you can be forgiven, you can be restored, and defeat does not mean the end. There's no doubt Peter was defeated, but thank the Lord it didn't end his life for the Lord. But I had on my heart, what in the world do we do with that battle that comes that the devil is initiating to try to defeat us to begin with? I dealt a little bit about why Peter was defeated this morning, but I want us to look at the fact of that attack. We're talking about the strategy of Satan. What about our strategy? What are we going to do with this thing of the attack from the wicked one? We are in a battle. We are in a war. We have an enemy that hates us, who is powerful. And if we don't get some help from somewhere, we will lose. And when we do lose, what are we going to do? I'm glad the Bible says that there is a God who is faithful. He has not and will not, never will, allow us to be tempted above that we're able. Thank the Lord for that. Does not mean he won't send us through trials that are too great for us. He's talking about temptation when he says, I won't put more on you than you can bear. I promise you, you and I both have gone through things that's too big for us to handle. But with God's help, they're not too big. With his help, they're not too big. Now, with me, sure it is, but not with him and me. And I don't add anything. I just trust him if I've got any sense. But what about our strategy before the attack? Remember, Peter, God trying to get him ready. The Lord said, Peter, the devil have desired thee that he may sift you as wheat. The Lord tried to prepare Peter for the attack before it ever came, before it even started. And you know, the devil will try to, he has a plan that he tries to initiate. So we are wise and we know we're going to have the battle. We know the tempter is going to come. We know the opportunity will present itself. Best thing we can do is have a strategy before we are attacked, where when it does come, maybe we'll be better prepared and ready for it. We need to recognize something before the attack ever comes, and that is there are certain things that are wrong. There are some things that God has said no to. And the things that God has said no to, the devil says yes about. It's okay, don't worry about it. He not only says yes, he'll say, come on and dig in deep, enjoy yourself. It is okay, but God said it's not okay. And by the way, God has the right, listen to me, he has the right to demand from us certain things. God has a right to say that is wrong. Because I remind you, he's God. And there are some things that are wrong that we are to stay away from, that we are not to do. He has that right. And knowing that, the devil will say, go ahead, participate. And he moves us, just like Peter, that fear, that anxiety, the situation he was in moved him to react wrongly to what he's going through. And that's exactly what will happen to us if we don't get ready. I'm saying the Lord tried to get Peter ready before the battle ever came to where he could have been victorious, but Peter failed. And we will too if we don't have some kind of strategy. That's why Jesus said, watch out. The devil's coming, the tempter's coming, the opportunity's coming. You better watch out for it. But he did not stop by just saying, watch, be alert, expect it. He said, watch and pray. Because you need to realize when that battle comes, it's going to be greater than you. And the tempter's stronger than you, and he is offering you and telling you, listen, to do exactly what you want to do. He'll put flesh and opportunity together. Our desire and the temptation together. So we need to have a strategy before the attack. We need to watch and pray to where we'll be ready. Could I remind you what Jesus said again? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our spirit inside wants to do right. While Peggy was singing about loving the Lord, I thought in my heart, oh, I want to love Him so much. I want to love His will and His word. I just want to love Him. That's my spirit. That's my desire. But the flesh says, well, what about the world? What about your time? What about... And so we're in the battle. But before the tempter comes, before the battle comes, before the attack comes, we need to have a strategy. And we need never lower our guard. I said when I put that down in my thoughts and in these notes, I thought, never lower your guard. Don't I ever get a break? Isn't there some time in my life I can just relax? And I said, no, you better not. We cannot lower our guard if you're in the heat of battle. And the bullets are coming by, and the enemy wants to kill you. You better not lower your guard. And our battle never ends. The attack never ends. Now, it will have times like with Peter. It'll be just like that with us. There'll be times the devil just throws everything he's got at you. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. But we need to never lower our guard because we don't know when the attack is coming. We need to be ready at all times. And listen, He's looking for us at our weakest time. He's looking at us when we lower our guard or relax our attention. So I'm talking about our strategy before the attack. I thought about this. We need to avoid as much as we can. I thought about that verse in Deuteronomy 7:25 where the Lord said to His people, the graven images of their gods, ye shall burn with fire. Ye shall not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. He said, when you go into the enemy camps and you see those idols that are made of gold and silver, to you it's nothing but gold and silver. But it is gold and silver. It is valuable. And you think, oh, what in the world's wrong with me taking an idol of gold and silver and melting it down and using it for myself? God said, you better not. Don't you crave that. He said, even the appearance of evil is evil. We are to avoid as much as we can. We ought to have enough sense. Listen, before the devil ever attacks, we ought to know, I can't watch that. Turn it off. That's the old-fashioned way. You remember that? My daddy used to make me so mad. He's lazy and had drunk all the time. He'd call me from the other room and have me turn channels for him. I thought, good gracious, lazy buzzard, get off the sofa and do it yourself. He never would. But we ought to have enough sense to avoid certain things. If we're attracted to something, it's dumb to hang around it or expose ourselves to it. There is enough the devil's going to send to us on purpose. There's enough in this world we're going to stumble into without offering ourselves and exposing ourselves to things that we know are going to tempt us. I'm talking about our strategy before the attack, before the tempter comes. We got to be ready for it. It would do us wise to avoid as much as possible. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. That word place means occupancy. It literally means opportunity. In other words, it's like you have a house and you say to your drunk neighbor, hey, you can come just live in my closet. And think that he's living in the closet and not going to affect your life. Well, let him live in your closet and see. And the Lord said, don't even let the devil come live in your closet. Don't give him a little place in your life. Don't give him any space. Don't let him come live with you. Don't open your life up to him. Stay away from him. Don't let him have any opportunity, because there's going to be enough he tries to take on his own. I'm talking about the strategy before the attack. What do we do even before the tempter comes? He's on the way, Peter. He's coming. Jesus said, Satan hath desired you. He already has his plan in works. You better prepare now, Peter. And had he done that, he might would have been victorious. But he wasn't, and we'll never know. But I know this, I want to be victorious. I don't want to be tripped up by the devil. I don't want to fall. I'm talking about handling defeat. But wouldn't it be better to not be defeated at all to begin with? What do we do when we fall? What do we do when we fail? I'll get to that maybe eventually one of these days. But I want to say tonight, we don't have to fall. We don't have to fail. Our strategy before the attack. Get in this book. Get the book in you. Get on your knees and pray. That's why the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. This book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. I know you heard that. You know why you heard it? Because it's right. Get in this book. I'm talking about before the devil ever comes, before the tempter ever whispers, before he ever draws, before the circumstance comes. Our strategy before the attack. What about this? When the devil does attack. There was a time in Peter's life that the Lord said, you better get ready, Peter. The devil's working. And then there was a time there, warming by the enemy's fire, that the damsel came and the others came and the attack came. Too late to prepare now. The attack has come. The devil has leashed his plan. He's letting go. He is attacking Peter. So I say first, the strategy before the attack, but what about this? Our stand during the attack when the devil does fire his darts at us. Verse 69 says, a damsel came unto him saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. And the attack now has come. And when the attack comes, it only got worse for Peter. And when the attack comes, it's too late to prepare then, if you haven't. And it's time to, whether you're prepared or not, just take a stand. Well, I tell you what, we lay down so easily, we give up so easily, we give in so easily. It is as though we act like we have no alternative but to give in to sin and give in to the devil and lay down and play dead and just let him run over us. But we do have an alternative. We don't have to lose. We don't have to give in. We don't have to be overcome. The difficulty, again, I've already suggested, is the devil tells us to do exactly what our flesh wants to do. That's why it's not easy to say no. But in the stand of the battle, when the attack is the worst, how in the world do we stand for the Lord and not give in? How do we keep from being defeated? We do what the Lord said. We trust Him. One thing for sure, the closer you try and get to the Lord, the more the devil's going to fight. Just we'll get that settled. Listen, and the more successful the devil is, the more he's going to fight. You've heard of momentum. A team can be losing, and all of a sudden they get one good play, and all of a sudden the momentum just changes, and it's like they've got a new burst of energy, and all of a sudden they were losing and doing dumb things, and all of a sudden everything they try is working. and they start winning. Once the devil smells blood in the water, and he sees he's making some headway with us, don't think he's going to back off. Oh, we start listening. He's going to keep on working and intensify his attack. I'm talking about standing when the attack comes. Remember, there are consequences to what I do. What I do with this temptation, what I do with this circumstance, what I do with this battle, there's going to be consequences. Hey, was there consequences with Peter's decision? Sure there was. And there's going to be consequences with every decision we make when we're under the battle of the attack of the devil. Think about during the attack, taking a stand. Realize there's going to be consequences when I say yes to the temptation and I do what I want to do like Peter did. He just thought, I got to get out of this situation somehow. I don't know him. I don't know him. And he got him out of the situation for then, for a moment. And we need to realize when the tempter's coming, when the attack is coming at the worst of the battle, we need to realize if I say yes, I will be sorry for it. There's going to be consequences. If I give in, if I do what I want to do, number one, it's going to be consequences. It's going to grieve my Lord. If I give in to temptation, if I do what I want to do, if I do what seems to come natural, it's going to hurt God. You remember, you read it where Jesus eventually looked at Peter. And Peter looked at Jesus. And they met eyeball to eyeball. Boy, I believe Peter, that's one of the things that broke Peter. I believe he saw the hurt in Jesus' eyes. After all he had done for Peter, and now Peter has denied him, and Peter all of a sudden sees the hurt in Jesus' eyes. I'll tell you, if we disobey the Lord in any way, it's going to hurt him. It's going to affect our fellowship with him. It's going to keep us from getting good things from him. Now, that may be a selfish reason, but it's a biblical reason. It says in Jeremiah 5:25, your sins hath withholding good things from you. He says, I got so much stuff. I got so many good things I'd love to give you, but I can't because of your sin. Because of decisions you've made. When we say yes to flesh and do things our way, it costs us. It hurts him, but it keeps him from giving good things to us. That's why David said, please restore the joy of thy salvation. You know why? He had lost his joy because of his sin. And I'm not talking about running around on your spouse or committing murder like David did. Committing adultery like David did. You don't have to go that far. I'm talking about the stand during the attack. What do we do? Realize while the attack is the worst, that if I say yes to my flesh, I'm going to regret it. It's going to hurt my Lord. It's going to keep him from blessing me. It's going to hinder my growth with him. I will not progress. I will digress. It's going to cost me. He's going to chasten me. He's not going to let me get by. He can't use me. Remember, when the attack comes, it's going to cost me more than it's worth. I will be sorry if I say yes. But on the other hand, while the attack's at the worst, think if I say yes, it's going to only be bad. But if I say no, as much as my flesh would like to, as much as I would think I would enjoy it, as much as it seemed like an easy and natural thing to do, if I say no to my flesh, I will be glad. I will please my Lord. He will smile at me. The one who loves me more than I can understand will be glad because I said no to my flesh. I'm talking about our stand during the attack. When the attack comes, what do we do? Realize, listen, we can trust God. there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who is able. He's able to give us grace to say no. Even at the worst, even when the flesh wants it, for whatever reason, we need to trust God to give us the grace we need. That's why James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. First thing we do, we submit to the Lord. Give it to him. And then we resist the devil. That's a combat term, a soldier term. Resist. Brother Tom was talking about Vietnam this morning and getting over that fear. You got to get over that fear. You got to stand against the enemy. Resist him. That's how we need to do our enemy. Because like Peter said, he's a roaring like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That word devour don't sound like anything I want in my life. For him to devour me, for him to consume me, for him to eat me up, I don't want that. So I say, stand during the attack. Stand on the word. Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus, God himself, God in flesh, used the word of God. The same word we have is what he used when he was being tempted. Get you some Bible. Quote it to the devil. Quote it to yourself. Stand on the Bible. I'm talking tonight about hopefully maybe not falling to begin with. What do we do when we fall? Maybe I'll get to that. But I'd rather not fall. Our strategy before the attack, our stand during the attack, our stronghold after the attack. It's like the devil did Jesus. It says in Luke 4:13, he departed from him. Hallelujah! But the verse didn't end there. I'm glad for what it says, but the verse says he departed from him for a season. So, oh, here we go again. Just because I got through today's battle and said no to the flesh this time doesn't mean I can relax now. Hey, I got news for you. Our relaxing time comes in heaven. There is no relaxing time down here. There's a trusting time, a relying time to get victory, but there's no relaxing time. So I say, after the battle, that initial battle, after that initial attack, and we've said no to the flesh, what do? We prepare for the next attack, because he's coming back. He left the Lord for a season. We need to get ready. You set up your operation post for the next attack. That's what they do. Make sure the shells are right there, the guns are right there, the artillery's right there. They got everything that they need because the attack's coming back. It's like the Indians. They're going to come back. They may have run off this time, but all they do is going to regroup and come back. You got to stand. You got to have a stronghold after the attack because there's a new attack coming. If we're victorious, we ought to, after the attack, say, Lord, thank you. Because I know if it wasn't for you, I would have given in. There's no way in the world I would have stood that. There's no way in the world I'd have said no to the flesh. If I'd done what I wanted to do, I would have failed just as miserably as Peter did. But you helped me, and I give you glory. I give you credit. Could I say it again? I've said so often, Lord, thank you for carrying me today. I know you carried me. It wasn't me and you together. It was you carrying me. And that's why I went through any time of victory in this world. If we overcome, thank the Lord for the victory. Don't become overconfident. Don't think I got this thing. You better watch out. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. If we have a measure of victory, we think we got through it and we're all right, we're in trouble. If we have a measure of victory, we thank him and glorify him and realize I would have fallen had it not been for you, and I'll fall the next time if it's not for you. Give him glory. If you're victorious, give him glory and thank him for it. If you have fallen, and I'm kind of pecking on where I want to get to, but I won't say anything much about it tonight. if we have failed and we give in to the tempter. We do what we want to do. We need to, as quick as we can, run to God and confess. Admit it. Admit it. What good would it do to delay it? I got news for us. If I do it right now, tomorrow, the sin's going to be just as dark, just as bleak, just as bad. Tomorrow, the next day, and next week, and next year, and 10 years from now, until I confess it, that sin is there. It doesn't wear out. It doesn't wear down. It doesn't go away. It doesn't fade. Until it's confessed and put under the blood, that sin is there. So if we fail, the best thing we can do as quick as we can is run to God and confess. And just admit what you've done. Lord, I am sorry I have failed you. Peter did that. Peter did do one thing right. He got right, right. We need to get right, right. We need to admit to the Lord what we did. And we need to start over. We need to start again. Get back up. Put your armor back on and get back in the battle. You know what? That's exactly what the Lord wants us to do. So I have finally gotten to the message, and it's time to quit preaching, so I'm done. I said tonight, unless you've missed it, I've said it more times than you probably cared to hear. The devil wants to hide the truth from us about defeat when we've failed. He wants to hide the truth that you can be restored. God does love you. He wants to forgive you as soon as possible. He wants you back in the saddle. He wants you back in the battle. The devil wants to hide that truth from us. But I've tried to say this evening, it'd be a whole lot better to not fail at all. And if we'll be ready for the battle, we won't. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening. Hope you got the message.